Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for who you are to us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we are full of gratitude this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Precious Lord, we're grateful for your resurrection that gives us eternal life. Thank you. Amen. So we are going to be continuing on our conversation on eternal life. And it will be good for us to have a recap of what we heard shortly, so that those who are also hearing it for the first time, you know, they are not lost in the whole conversation. So we started a conversation last week where, you know, we tried to understand the word eternal. And today, we're going to be doing the same thing, but then we're going to be probably adding the life to it that makes it more clear on eternal. It's quite interesting to see that after he that hath. But they are not far-fetched. I'll show you the connection. So, like I said, we're going to be continuing and we'll just add a bit to what we have been talking about. Just a bit. We took some time combing around a couple of Old Testament scriptures, right? Yes. To understand from that standpoint the word eternal. Then we also took some time looking at a few New Testament writings on the concept of eternal life. Of course, all scripture is profitable. So what we actually do is that we don't look at all the scriptures. We take most of the major ones that make the explanation of what we intend to see clear. But then every one of them, taking from every major biblical book, will bring that clarity into what we are explaining. So if we had a couple of scriptures from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what will mean is that we have quite some writings from Moses, and that helps us to put it together that this is what the Old Testament writings of Moses is saying. Right? Then if we see a couple of scriptures from the Psalms, we see that, okay, that's quite a prophetic book, so David's writings. Then we can also see a number of scriptures also from the prophets, which are the major or the minor prophets. Then that also gives us insight into what is written. So we don't actually exhaust every scripture, right? But we do our best to look at everything in the clarity to which it's supposed to be seen. If we saw any of the scriptures from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it means we have quite some truth that comes in from the Gospels, and that sums it up beautifully. Do you see that? Then if we also see a couple of scriptures from Paul's writings, then we can have that from the epistles. So when we put it together, even though we have not exhausted all of the scriptures, we must have seen the truth concerning the writings in the various book groupings that they come with. Is that very clear? All right. So that's what we had to do. And I'm just going to take my time because I want you to get what I'm talking about. And then maybe towards the latter, we can go haywire, right? Okay. So don't sleep. That's the intent of the service. The intent of the service is to cause you to see something. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to call you to stand up. The church is a classroom. Right now we have entered class. Take your mind off the suit you're wearing, the belt you're wearing, the shoe you're wearing. I don't know who implemented these. But it's just like we grew up seeing it, right? Yeah. So we can also create a culture where church becomes, of course, dressed decently, but not anything that makes somebody feel like, oh, if I don't have clothes, I can't come to church. And sometimes I don't understand why people say they can't come to church when they don't have clothes. Because if I had a t-shirt and a trowel, in fact, I've gone to church several times in t-shirt. Whose t-shirt can I use? Because everybody is dressed very well. So I can use only the choir, the inner, because they have a suit on, right? So a normal t-shirt like that, like what they are wearing, white t-shirt, you know, and just a simple trowel, and like maybe some nice loafers. I don't know, simple loafers, and I go to church. And I never feel lost when I see someone wearing like blinks, three-piece. Because I never see it that way. I don't know, but I've never seen it that way. Have you seen it that way? I don't know, I've never seen it that way. So when someone says, I don't have shoe, I go like, what does that even mean at all? I don't have shirt. And normally what I ask them is, so what are you wearing? And they say, oh, you can't wear this shirt to church. I'm like, you can wear the shirt to church. You just need to wash it. Iron it well. You see, wash it well. If it's dirty, then you are a dirty boy. And God doesn't like dirty boys. So just iron. Then you iron your trousers very well. Even if it is, you don't have a shoe and you have like a very nice slip. You wake up in the morning, you clean it beautifully. Do you see that? Then if your nails are dirty, because that's where the dirt really is. You clean your nails very well. So your nails can show outside of the slippers you're wearing and you are fine. It doesn't make any difference. So I get really amazed when people say they don't have clothes, they don't have watch, they don't have shoe, they don't have that, they don't have this, they don't have makeup. You know, some people will not come to church because their makeup is done. So they have to finish buying makeup before they come to church. You don't have deodorant. So you won't go to church. All these are useless excuses. You don't just want to go to church. Eh? Anyway, but then, I don't know how I got here, but I believe it's essential and is important. So let nothing stop you from coming to church. Are you listening? Not even your looks, your hair. You can always do something about your hair. Always. Always. That day, just tie a scarf. You'll be fine. When they ask you, why are you in a scarf, Gele? You say, oh, it's just... Right? It's just one of those touching things, right? Yeah. I take 20 minutes to dress anytime. I know my dressing time. 20 minutes. But I may take more if I have not ironed. But 20 minutes I should be done. Yeah. So also, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think it's relevant for some people. Right? So you can use, what do you call it? Is what I'm teaching relevant? It's relevant. Yeah, I don't know why I'm teaching it, but I just feel like teaching it. I just feel like talking about it. So that someone doesn't have a reason not to come to church, not to be in church, an excuse why they cannot be in church. Everything is a new style. So just find how you can blend it together and you'll be very fine. Is that okay? All right. So we started a conversation last week, like I said, on eternal life. And I'm hoping this helps someone greatly. So we said there are a lot of people that have concepts on what it means to have eternal life. There are a lot of concepts as to what some people have as eternal life. You know, some people believe that, like we said last week, eternal life is a man, or when they say a man has eternal life, it means that the man will never die again. So when you say, God came that you may have eternal life and have it more abundantly, they laugh at you. Then they say, but somebody who believed in Jesus is dead. What is the meaning of eternal life? So some people limit eternal life to just the physical body that can be seen and touched. And so seeing somebody who believes in Jesus die becomes like a mock to what you preach. But that's exactly not what eternal life is, right? So we saw that also sometimes people have understanding in that, you know, eternal life is what you receive when you die. So we are all waiting to die. Then when we stand before whoever we stand before, whether Jesus or God the Father or Muhammad, whoever it is that you believe you stand before, the person will now say, yes, I'm Muhammad. So get in because you believed in me as, I don't know what Muhammad is believed. It's a prophet actually, but then maybe the highest order of a prophet. Then some also believe that, it's people living, forever. Maybe whether in heaven, whether in hell, any of them, it is called eternal life. So once you live forever, burn forever in hell. So you have eternal life in hellfire. So that also may be eternal life for some people. Now there are also some others who we saw last week who are very interesting people in that they believe that eternal life is a cyclical repetitive form of some form of life or the other. So they believe that you can come as a human being. Then when you die, the next time you come as a goat. When you die, the next time you come as, you come as a calabash. I don't know what you're going to come as, but they also believe in some very interesting stories. And I'm like, wow. So you find out that there are some families who don't eat, maybe goats because they believe that, yes, like you just come to the world, you don't eat goat meat. What do you buy when you go for fufu? Cow. Or what? Willie? Yemadie? So you say, how is pastor able to know? Because I also buy fufu too. So, Yemadie, what else? Tilapia. The soft one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, some also believe that eternal life is quite interesting. You come in different forms and they also believe that that is what eternal life is. But then we, in our study, try to exhaust or we try to see in much clarity what God's word said. Do you remember last week I told you that God's word is the only source for our truth. It's the only source through which truth is established, right? Okay. Are we doing some good recap? Great. So we also saw that the word eternal in the Old Testament was a word what? Olam, which means what? It means continuous. It means constant. It means what? Uninterrupted. It means unceasing. That's the word eternal. It's forever. It's uninterrupted. It's unceasing. I used an example of, you know, the air conditioning where you go to put it off and you put it on, you come again and you put it off and then you put it on. And I said that concept does not exactly describe eternal, right? It's put on once and it works forever. You can't put it off again. You can't put it on again. Either of the cases, you can't do anything to it. It cannot be increased, neither can it be depreciated. So we exhausted that actually. So we said to have eternal life, I mean to the word eternal is the word uninterrupted, perpetual, continuous, unceasing, indefinite. Please, do we remember? Are you sure? Very sure. But there's a scripture I want us to see again, Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. As God describing himself as the eternal God. He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Great. So So next verse. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name. And what is his name? Forever. That's his name. His name is forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. So his name is what? Forever. I told you that the word name there means his state. What he does is forever. What he gives is forever. We also saw him as the everlasting God. Do you remember that? So we combed around just trying to look at the word eternal. Eternal. Then how he describes himself as the eternal God. And how that he had described possessions as eternal. He had described his redemption as eternal. Do you remember? How he described his inheritance as eternal. His covenant with man, of which he is the superior party. He sustains the relationship. He calls that as what? Eternal. Then he now says, eternal salvation. So what we have in him is our eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, eternal covenant, eternal salvation. That's who he is. He is God, and what he does is forever. He can keep what he says he can keep, right? Do you remember where he says in John, he says, no man shall be able to pluck you from his hand, because that's him. He is God. He's the one that keeps you. He's the one that sustains the salvation he gave you. So he gave you salvation, but then he's the one that is also responsible for keeping the partnership of the salvation to which you received in him. And that he calls himself eternal. All right, are we doing some good recap? Because like I said, we're going to just add something to it that spices up eternal. Then we'll see if we can add the life to it. Yeah, I should think the life should be just quite an interesting one to add. So he calls himself an eternal God. An eternal God. So this is where we go a bit further. Today we're going to be combing around David's writings. I'm always blown away when I read David's writings. Like, boy, what a prophet. Psalms. You know, David was a prophet. He was a priest. He was also a king. What a grace. What a gift. Psalm 23. This is where we push it a bit further. This is where we push it a bit further. Just a bit further. Just a bit further. You know, have you been caught by the policeman before? You say, park here, move here. Park here, move here, right now. Say something. You say anything. hey, these people are interesting, though. So you say anything. If you say anything, be there. But you're actually saying something. Or you're saying, boss, please, I beg you. We didn't see the traffic light. No, you're not saying something. You have to say something. So today we are pushing it a bit. Wow. When they catch you, you'll be hot, sir. They say something. They will tell you, boss, please, wait. No, you don't say what you are saying. Say what I want you to say. Say you are begging for what? You stand here for a long time. Oh, say something. So those who understand say something will just say, oh boss, you know, Hey. Psalm 23. We're staying at Psalm 23 this morning. Verse 6. Surely his goodness and mercy. We're still looking at what the word eternal entails, right? He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of what? My life. Now, David oftentimes is that prophet that prophesies, cum his writings. So we will want to not just read it as that only, but there is a prophetic meaning. And of course, it's very clear to what David means by making reference to Psalm 23 verse 2. He used it in a prophetic language and he used it to communicate a truth that we receive in this life that we have in Christ, which is eternal. Now look at it in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But David, you're lying, because you're not living today. Don't you think so? I mean, forever means forever. If you said you dwell in your father's house forever, today when we go to Israel, we should find you celebrate. And we say, who is that guy? He said, that is David. So what did David mean when he said forever, 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 forever? What did he mean? Forever. Now, he also makes a very clear statement. He says, there is something and something which he calls goodness and mercy that is doing what? That is following him. So, can we also say that goodness and mercy that follows is forever? Because that which follows him is forever. Then he dwells with his father when? Forever. So he's saying something, and he's literally saying, I will dwell in my father's presence forever. So the presence of the father is what? Forever. His goodness and mercy, can we call his goodness and mercy his presence? Is also what? Forever. Now, who is the one that supplies goodness and mercy? Of course, him as God. Because that's his presence. Whenever you see him, when you see him in a place, what he has is goodness and what? Mercy. And this goodness and mercy is what? Forever. Let me make it clear. Go to Exodus. Let me show you something in Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. We're still on eternal life. So, remember, what we say is eternal is forever, right? Great. Great. I believe maybe we're just going to get to understand further what this life that is eternal has. Then we look at what the life is, right? The eternal, it has something in there. Then there is a life that is eternal. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Verses number 18. This is Moses. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy what? Thy glory. And he said, this is God, I will make all my what? Goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show what? Mercy. So, Moses is saying, show me your glory. Now, he tells us the components of his glory. What is the components of his glory? The components of his glory is his goodness. And his what? His graciousness. And his what? And his mercy. So, he's saying, I will make my goodness pass before you. Pay attention, Psalm 23 verse 6. Goodness and mercy follows, right? So he's now saying in Exodus 33, verse 19, my goodness pass what? Before thee. You see the component of follow, right? Pass before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show what? Mercy. So, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God, or the glory of God, is God himself. That's his presence. That's what his presence comes with. Now, David is saying that he's going to be around this presence for what? Forever. It means that God will be good to me forever. Now, can you realize? Do you not understand why David, irrespective of his flaws, had God's goodness running after him? It's the same as the life of the believer. He stands somewhere, sees a woman stripped naked, then he sees the woman, says, get me that woman. He sleeps with a woman, kills the husband's wife. What gets me wondering now is that the child that comes forth that will be very blessed is the child from that woman. Now, he says, that goodness, it chases after me. That mercy. You know, there were times where David did something, God chooses to overlook it because it's the seventh David. Now he now says, my mercy is also going to be forever. Don't take your mind off eternal, because goodness and mercy is in that life, which is eternal. It's in his presence. Are you listening? So he's now saying that God's goodness, God is good to you, and he's going to be good to you. His goodness and his mercy is going to be chasing after you like this. Or let me not say it's going to be. If it's going to be, maybe it's very good. It chases after you like this. So why and how long is it that it chases after you? Then when it gets tired, it stops because you fornicated. You insulted somebody. You didn't come to church. As good as these things are, as good as coming to churches, as good as sustaining and abstaining from wrong is, as good as, you know, not having to drink is, I mean, as good as not or abstaining from drunkenness is, those elements cannot stop you. Remember, I told you, you need to hear me on every matter. He that hath, you see that the conversation was quite different. Right? So you see that. But what he gives you in eternal life, he calls that forever. So, yes, I may not be that perfect person, but that goodness, that mercy, of course his goodness, is just his loving kindness. You know, he just chooses to love you. You say, Lord, I'm like this, so have you met, you know, the ladies, have you had a guy, and then you try to tell the guy that, you know, I'm like this, so. And the guy says, you don't worry, I still love you like that. That's how God loves us. Now, this eternal life, take your seats. This eternal life, pay attention, is what we received in the resurrection. That's what we receive today. So, his goodness it insists on you. His mercy, which is, you know, when somebody is merciful to you, what you rightly deserve, they withhold from you. So, if you deserved punishment, they would say, oh no, let's not punish. then of course his graciousness gives you what you don't deserve. So mercy will withhold something that you rightly deserve. Then grace will give you something that you do not deserve. Now, these elements is what David says is chasing after you and is running after you. Oh Lord, I'm but a sinner. He says, yes, that is exactly who I'm looking out for. Oh Lord, but I think I have a character that I should stay away from church. He says, no, that's when you should be coming to me. Oh Lord, I think I'm so bad a person and I don't think my life can amount to so much. And he says, that is what I'm looking for. Because that element keeps walking with you forever. Lord, I have an addiction and I've been struggling with it for quite a while. You know, he just looks at you and he's like, I'm telling you, he just looks at her. Let's continue our relationship. So, David is speaking in prophetic language how that his goodness and his mercy is after him. Say, God is good to me. You know, sometimes we try to say, have you ever got into a time of your life where, you know, there's a storm that happens and you're trying to wonder if you did something wrong or not? Hear me. His goodness is with you in that situation. And his mercy is with you in that situation. These elements, they follow you forever. Now let me tell you something as a minister. You know, sometimes in ministry, I teach you to pray, I teach you to fast, I teach you to study the word of God. Hear me and hear me well on this matter. As good as these things are, they will not be the reason why God uses you powerfully. God chooses to use you because of his goodness and his kindness. I fasted 21 days. Put that aside. No. His goodness and his loving kindness. You know, sometimes when you're going to have a flow, you ascertain how much your prayer life is, to see if you can really flow. It's the greatest hindrance of being used by God. There are meetings I've gone to. I never prayed. And yet still he moved powerfully. I just know not to take what glory he deserves. There are times where I've had meetings back to back and I literally sleep on my food. Like the next time I wake up is that I'm going into the meeting again and he's still there powerful. Take your seats. There are times where I have not fasted, but he moves powerfully. There are times where I've not prayed and I don't expect to see. Now, hear me so you can build strongly. Are you listening? God's goodness and His kindness is going to be following you forever. Now, here this is why I break the ice, even in the ministry. So, back to eternal salvation. David is saying, your goodness, your kindness is chasing after me, is running after me, is with me. And he now says, this is going to happen forever. For ever. For ever. See Psalm 21. See Psalm 21. Hear me, church. Hear me, church. I want you to rest in His goodness and in His mercy. Are you listening? Great. So, of course, if you discuss that prayer is good, fasting is good, studies is good, everything is good, all of these things are good. But then I still want you to rest in His goodness and His mercy. Are you listening? Great. So look at Psalm 21. Look at Psalm 21. Verse 4. He asked life of thee, and thou givest it him. Even what? Length of days, forever, and what? Ever. Is that eternal life? Is that eternal life? Great. So, this life that he gives, he says, David characterizes that as length of days, forever. Because, you know, that forever and ever he writes there is not the forever and ever we think. Because, like I said, if it's the forever and ever we think, then David should still be believing today. So that we can make reference to him as forever. He spoke in prophetic language. And that prophetic language is that he asked life of thee. I give me life. Now, what is his life? He calls his life eternal, right? Perpetual, continuous, uninterrupted. Then he says, and thou givest it to him. What happened? Even length of days, so he gave life, and this life is what? Forever. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but then, you know, Zoe, I know we have Zoe here, you know, Zoe is not eternal. Zoe just means life. Remember, David is saying that. That life, he calls it forever life. That's why we have to add eternal to life. Because if we take Zoe alone is life. It's living. It's to live. Right? Then, what sort of a life is that? Then he now calls that word eternal life. So, he's saying that this life that I give to you is forever. He calls it length of days. He says, I asked you for life. And what did you do for me? You gave me life. But the life you gave to me, it was what? Forever and what? Ever. Now, in that forever and ever is his presence. Don't forget Exodus 33. Moses is asking, let your presence go with me. He says, what will go with you? I'll show you my goodness. I'll show you my mercy. I'll show you my glory. And that constitutes my presence. So David, dwelling in the presence of God, will be calling and experiencing everything that he receives as the goodness and the loving kindness of God, which he calls it forever. Forever doesn't mean, it means, this is what it means. It means in every situation that God extends out a relationship towards you, it's in love, it's in mercy, it's in graciousness. It's in love, it's in mercy, it's in graciousness. Look at Psalm 91. Are you learning something? Psalm 91. You know, I know how these messages bless, because even while I study for the teachings, and then you wake up and the air is different. How many of you have realized that you wake up and I realize it. You wake up and the day is quite different. Yeah, because you know that God loves me, you know. God will be merciful towards me. Yeah. God is merciful towards me. God is merciful. Look at Psalm 91, 16. He's still speaking. With long life will I what? Satisfy him. And shew him my what? Salvation. With length of days. Can we see that? And this length of days is when? It's forever. Does he change his mind about you? No. He doesn't wake up a single day and then he changes his mind about us. What he thinks towards us is forever. Look at Psalm 93 verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Thine house. Thine house. Thine house. What? Forever. 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 Look at Psalm 23 verse 6 again. Psalm 23 verse 6. Again. Surely. It means of a certainty. His goodness and his mercy endureth. No, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house forever. Forever. All the days. Can we say the house of God is where God is? That's where God is. That's the presence of God. So if you say, oh, go and call me, so-and-so, he's in Mr. Pascal's house. It means when I go to that house, who am I going to find? Mr. Pascal. So he says that in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, experiencing of his presence in his house, which is where he dwells. Are you listening? Wonderful. Now, this is my favorite psalm for the year, actually. I've been. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And we're going to read that congregationally. For the year, you know, I stumbled on this because, Psalm 136. Hey, what a God. I don't know what you think, you know, signifies God's badness. But it's not true. Are you listening? It's not true. I don't know what in your life you think is a hindrance for your serving God and for being with him. But it's not true. We're going to do something shortly. And I don't know what the time is. Okay. Oh, we still have a lot of time. So, We're just going to take a few seconds to reflect. Now, the goodness of God is seen in Christ. I'm not going ahead of myself, but I want to help you get into the moment. You know, Jesus coming as a man was his goodness. Are you listening? Now, he choosing to die in your stead was his goodness as well. Right? Now, he choosing to resurrect on your behalf is also his goodness. What withholds all the punishments you should have is his mercy. His graciousness and his gifts of the Spirit to help you in whatever situation you find yourself is his grace. And his grace is seen in everything of your life. Everything is seen in his graciousness. We're not talking about grace, but then everything is his graciousness as well. It's like they flow together. Then, he now chooses to identify himself with you. So you hear the song that was sung today. He laid aside that majesty just because of you and I. His goodness and his mercy, they endure forever, eternally. That's the life we receive. We receive goodness. We receive mercy. We receive favor. We receive graciousness. Now I'm going to do it, you know, just a quick word, Psalm 136. And then we're going to read that as a church. Now he says, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, if you have a good Bible, you see the word endureth is italicized. It means it's not there. It means that this is how we read it actually. His mercy is forever. Don't worry about what endureth means. Endureth is to help us. It's like it stays and stays and continually stays. So his goodness and his mercy is what? Forever. His goodness and his mercy is what? Forever. Can I get the people up here? And then we're going to together as a church. You will read the B part, which is the for his mercy endure forever. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. I'll be reading the various different signs. I don't know what you're going to keep your mind on. But I just want to get you, you know, into the moment. And then we'll continue with the teaching again. But I want this to be practical. His goodness. His goodness. You know, he's calling you into his ministry is his goodness. His goodness. His goodness. Where he picked you from is his goodness. His goodness. His goodness. His goodness. His goodness. His goodness. Don't pay attention to what's happening here. It's a lone moment. He chose to overlook many things. And he still chooses to. He forever will. the chesed of God. His goodness. So you're going to read that, for His mercy endured forever. I don't know how far you will run away from Him. But the thing is that His goodness and His mercy is forever. Lord, that we are even sitting here today, His goodness and His mercy endure forever. His goodness and His mercy endure forever. His goodness and His mercy endure forever. Just keep your mind on that. Just keep your mind on that. Just keep your mind on that. Can we rise as a church? For His goodness. Let's just proclaim these. For His goodness and His mercies. For His goodness and His mercies. For His goodness and His mercies endure forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Can we respond as a church? You can speak in the microphones. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord God of gods.
For His mercies endure forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For His mercy endure forever.
To Him who alone doeth great wonders.
For His mercies endure forever.
To Him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For His mercy endure forever.
To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that made great lights.
For His mercy endureth forever.
With some life, the sun to rule by day.
For His mercy endureth forever.
The moon and the stars to rule by night.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For His mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, my God.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For His mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him which led the people through the wilderness.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Oh, church, some light. To Him which smote great kings.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Sion, king of the Amorites.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Og, the king of Bashan.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And gave the land for an heritage.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Giving an heritage unto Israel His servants.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And have redeemed us from our enemies.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever.
You are good. You are faithful.
is the essence of the resurrection. For his own eyes, for his own eyes, for his own eyes. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy that endures forever. Thank you for your deliverance from harm. Thank you, Lord, for you deliver us from the hands of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. When we lift up our hands, Bible says, and when they lift up their hands, and they sigh, for he is good, and his mercy is endure forever. Go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Lord, when you came through for me, your mercy that endures forever. When you came through for me, your hand that endures forever. Lord, I thank you. Personalize it. I don't know what you're personalizing, but everything is the mercy, the graciousness of God. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy, for dying, for resurrecting, for sitting at the Father's right hand side, that we mantles of protocols. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Go ahead. His mercies and his mercies. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for the Lord, for this mercy. For the Lord is. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise for calling us as ministers of God. Manta Talaba. Oh, for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. We give you all the praise. Who believe in us, who believe in us in our lowest state. We thank you. Oh. For the Lord is good. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Can we just lift up the hand? Your mercy. Your mercy. Your mercy. Your mercy. For his mercies, for his loving kindness, for his committed loving kindness. David says, this is where I dwell all the rest of my life. This is where I dwell. In the house of God, he says. In his kingdom is his mercy. Yes. In his family is his mercy. A father that extends out his great love. Yes. 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 The resurrection is a personal experience. It's a personal experience. It's a personal experience. He died for me. He died for me. It's a personal experience. If you were the only one left, he would still die. Yes. We're in that everlasting covenant with him. Never to be broken. 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 Look how he called you. Look how he chose. Look how he selected you. It's all the mercy of God. He says, for brethren, for ye see your calling, not them that are wise after the flesh, not them that are mighty, not them that are noble, but God that God the foolish things of this earth. And his intent was to confound. His intent was to shame them that they think they are wise. You see, your calling is not, about how you look. It's not about what you can say or what you cannot say. It's all in the mercy of God. It's all in the mercy of God. Yes, I'm bad, but you still like me the same. I don't know why. Yes, that's what you should say. I may not match somebody that matches up to a standard, but you still like me. You're still particular about me. It's your mercy. It's your graciousness. It's your loving kindness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. And this is that weapon that's going to keep you in the ministry. It's going to keep you in the ministry. You say, yes, I may not have had it right, but God, I believe. I believe. It's your mercy. It's your mercy. It's your mercy. It's your mercy. Oh, it's your mercy. It's your mercy. It's your mercy. It's your mercy and your love. Oh, it's your mercy. It's your mercy. Yeah. Oh, Rabba Shatalaba. The resurrection morning is a morning on its own. It could be tagged a morning where we are thankful, where what we didn't deserve was done for us. Yes. And it's your mercies. And this mercy overflows into our personal lives. It overflows into our choices. It overflows into where we'll be in the next 10 years. It overflows where we'll be in the next 20 years. It overflows into where we'll be in the next 30 years. It's all, you know, the mercy and the grace of God. Yeah. Yeah. It says, where will you be in the next 20 years? I don't know, but I know the mercy of God. I know the kindness of God. I know his goodness. I know his unloving faithfulness to me. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm sure about his mercy. I'm sure about his kindness. I'm sure about it. Yes, I am. I am sure about it. I'm sure about it. I'm sure about it. It's your moment. Just go ahead. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. When the enemy came to eat up our flesh, they stumbled and they fell. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. So Christ family, what is going to happen? We may not be able to tell, but we know. We know one thing. We have one thing. It's that God will be merciful unto us. He has chosen. He says, to whom I will show mercy. I choose to show mercy to. I will show mercy to whoever it is that I have chosen. And God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. That he will show this mercy unto us. We're people. Your mercy. Make it your own personalized time. Just your own personalized time. Yes. The mercy of God is keeping us in the ministry. The mercy of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the loving kindness of God, the devotedness, the commitment of God is what keeps us. Is what keeps us running. He says, the race is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong. Neither is this work to men of understanding, nor riches. But time and chance, they happen to them all. The mercy of God in time. The race is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong. Neither is it to them that are swift. And they know how to handle bulls and chariots. They know how to move in swiftness of battle. But the mercy of God, the grace of God, the unconditional love of God is what keeps us running. Is what keeps us running. Is what keeps us going. Is what will keep us moving. The mercy of God. The grace of God. The faithfulness of God. My God. My God. My God. He's at Lord. If it is you, just show me your mercy, show me your goodness, show me your favor. He says, I'll make it pass before you. Now the prophet David said, my mercy, my graciousness will go. We'll go. It follows me. It follows me. Yes. Man of God, I keep missing it time and time again. While in fact there's room for expansion, I came to tell you, keep not your eyes away from His mercy. For the mercy of God, He says, it endured forever. O Zion, kings of the Amorites, it endured forever. Who defeated Bashan, it endured forever. Who delivered Israel from the hands of the wicked Egyptians? He calls that the mercy of God. The mercy of God. The grace of God. Oh, the favor of God. It endures forever. 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 How will I pay my penance? The gracious of God. How will I make that choice? The gracious of God. His loving kindness. It's good. It's good. It's good. Hey. The mercy.
I see this in my family. It looks like my family is not what it's supposed to be. The mercy of God. The graciousness of God. my joy, the mercy of God, the graciousness of God. Looks like I don't have wisdom for this. People of God, the mercy of God, the graciousness of God. He says, this mercy will I dwell forever. And by this same message, we can say in confidence, the Lord is good to me. By this same message, we can speak in faith, I will serve the Lord in the ministry forever. It's by the mercy of God. We can proclaim in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't just break the flow. Those who are sitting can sit. I mean, let's sit. Those who are kneeling, I don't want to stop the flow because the teaching requires a hearty connection. So can we sit? Like everybody can sit. If you want to stand, you can stand. But it's a teaching. We're continuing with the teaching. Mercy of God. This is what we receive in eternal life. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to try to teach more prophetically. I'm going to reduce teaching, solely teaching. I'm going to make it more prophetic, where you can flow with it. So in Mark chapter number 10, verse 17. If I'm going to teach prophetically, you have to stay with me. So he says that. So, in Mark 10, 17, he says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now he uses it very nicely. So the word inherit simply is to have part in. What may I do that I may have a part? That's the word inherit. I have a part in that. What should I do that I may be a partaker of this life? You know, an inheritance, you could have a full part, you could have a half part, you could have a part in it, right? If a man has four sons and then he gives to you a portion. That's an inheritance. So he's literally asking, how will I be a part? How will I take part? How will I have my part in this eternal life? And of course, you need to pay attention, because to have part in this life is to have a possession, right? Did we see that in Genesis? We did. Where there was a land to be possessed. And God says he will give them the land forever. Right? So,
He's literally asking, how can I possess what you have? Here, how do I partake of it? He now says. Now, I wanted to explain the inheritance. So, that from our study will mean that the possession is not us possessing him. But it's going to be the other way around, right? First, he possessing us and also us possessing him. It's not us possessing him solely. Now, when you come into a covenant with someone, okay, and the covenant is broken. For example, if you went to the Babalao or you went to the Juju, Sangoma, hey, how do I know them in all tribes? All major tribes. Babalao is some kind. Sangoma is another. Then Juju is also another. It's the whole Africa for a particular kind of man. Right? Then you go to him, then you say, we want to have a covenant with this God that if both of us break the covenant, then we can die. Common example, we want to have money, right? But then I don't trust this guy because I don't know what he's going to do to break the covenant. He also doesn't trust me. So we now come to an agreement, or the Babalao comes to an agreement, or the Sangoma, or the Juman comes to an agreement that the moment you both break the covenant, what is the covenant? If you drink cocoa. If you drink cocoa, it means that your whole life you are not drinking cocoa. Or it says that if you fail to renew your monthly subscription, you know, your monthly subscription or quarterly subscription means you bring 4 bulls, 3 goats, 1 hen. Both of you fail, right? Because both of you are together in the act. Now, if one side is quite, you know, not too good, maybe a bit forgetful, then you are doing it for like 3 years, you have enjoyed the money. Then one time, you see that he doesn't take his sacrifice, but you actually take your sacrifice. Now, will that covenant with that be broken? Will it be broken? Now, the deal is that we both have to break it before it's broken. If one person breaks the covenant to which we have, the partnership is what we explained last week. Is it broken? It's not broken. Do you understand? So, in this case, we are in an everlasting partnership with God. Right? We just can't wake up one day and say, the covenant is broken. Because we didn't play our part of the covenant. Of the partnership. Funny enough, we are even the weaker ones. So he is the one that keeps the relationship. That's why it's eternal. Left to you and I. Even your thoughts cry, eternal life would have left you by the door. Say the truth. Okay, who has not sinned today? Oh, don't, please, don't think too far. Like the 500 and 600. Okay, maybe I should say, who has not done wrong today? You see, you can't even know. You can't even tell. You can't even tell. So, this partnership, he is the one that maintains and sustains the partnership that we have. We have a part in it. That's how we have an inheritance with him. Are you listening? Great. So look at John. That's why you must serve him for the rest of your life. How do I inherit this thing called eternal life? I would have wanted to read the entire verse, but then let me not skip it. Mark 10, verse 21. I want you to look at it. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. Follow my words. Follow me. Is that be with me in my presence? Is that be with me in my presence? Yes, that's be with me in my presence. But then, if you believe in him, right, are you with him in his presence? Okay. Then, he that believeth will be he that has chosen to receive of this partnership. Are you listening? Great. So, in God's house, there is what? Eternal life, right? Can we also say in God's kingdom, there is eternal life? Can we say in God's family, there is eternal life? Because his kingdom will entail his family. There is eternal life, right? Look at John 14. John 14. Now, before I move to John 14, pay attention. In Mark 10, do you see that he says, leave everything and follow me? So, dispossess everything that you possess and be with me. That's how you inherit eternal life, he says. Everything away, be with me. I'm now your father, so be with me. So does that make more meaning into when we say eternal life is everything and where God is? That's where God is, right? So look at John 14. Verses 1 to 2. In fact, Jesus is telling his disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. But you what? Believe in me. Is that follow me? Can we say that as follow me? No, that's how the teaching is going to be. It's very intentional. It's supposed to be, I'm not supposed to just talk. It's didactic this time. That's why I was saying I was going to teach prophetically, but I made him stop playing so that I can teach on an interactive basis, right? So it's intentional. I need your response to teach so that I can be sure that what I'm teaching you understand. So I don't go back and I think, did they really get what I'm saying? So in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me. I mean, believe in God, believe also in me. Then he now says, in my father's house, I would many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In my father's house are what? Many mansions. In my father's house are many what? Mansions. So there are now mansions in the house. That's mansions. Think about mansions in a house. Architecture students, can we have a mansion in a house? A mansion in a house. They are not sure. Because the Bible is saying it. How on earth are you going to be sure, right? Can we have a mansion in a house? Oh, okay. So he's literally saying, let me just get ahead. He's saying that in my father's house are many what? Mansions in my father's house. Now the word house there is the word oikia. Is the word oikia. It means family. It means family. In my father's, can we read that as in my father's family? Right? Now the word mansions there is the word dwelling place. Let me not give you. Just a dwelling place. That means we can read that as in my father's family or household, there is enough dwelling place for you. In my father's house, which is amongst the family that my father is head of, there is what? There is enough room for you. So in God's family, there is enough what? There is enough room for everyone. 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 Now, don't forget, we're talking about God or Jesus and his presence, which is where he is. Now his presence will constitute his family as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, in this family, he says that there's enough dwelling place for you. So, let me help you. Somebody saying no, and that's honest because it helps me not go for it. You know, the whole thing is that you probably may have heard people say that like there's mansions in heaven, right? So, the scripture is meant to say that Jesus went to heaven to build mansions. How many of us thought about that? We genuinely, like he has gone. He's going, is that he's going to build mansions. So Jesus is an architect. He's building mansions.
Right.
So he's still building, actually. But it may be that he's building, you know, but then, that's not what the scripture is saying. That's why I had to give you the meaning of house. In my father's house, there are many what? Mansions. That's what the scripture is saying. But then, I'm telling you that the word house there is not like building, where you have building. It's the word household or it's the word family, right? So, in my father's family, Jesus is telling his disciples, there is enough dwelling place for who? For you. And when you become part of the family because there's enough dwelling place for you, do you inherit that perpetual, continuous, everlasting life. That's all I'm trying to say. So in my father's household, in my father's family, in my father's, there's always enough room for God's family. That's why we never say, yes, Angel Michael, how many space do we have? Say, right now we have 700,000 seats left in heaven. So, oh yeah, we can still take, we can say, yes, who wants to believe in Jesus Christ and give their hearts to the Lord? Then when we hit 700,000, we say, the family house is full. Right? The family house is full. So Jesus is literally telling them, there's enough room for everybody to partake of this inheritance. How you do that is to follow me. You take away those possessions, whatever it is that you have, and believe in me. We see that same example in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever does what? Believes in him should not what? Perish, but the fellow has everlasting life. So God is bringing us now into his family, and we now have a part in what he is doing. We now have eternal redemption. We now have eternal salvation. We now have an eternal covenant with him as God. Now, what does his presence entail? His goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his graciousness is what is going to be in his presence. But don't forget, we also, in his presence, will have other family members. Do you see that? Of course, we're going to have family members. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, he speaks about being encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. So, there's a family that is in the heaven that cheers you up. They're watching you. Your Balenciaga. It means medal to them. But when you win a soul, the family recognizes because one person is added to the family. Now, do you now understand why there's a lot of rejoicing in heaven when a new soul is won? Because you make the family quite larger. Now, it's very naturally relatable to biological families. How many of you have your sisters put to birth? Then everybody's happy. Like, there's just some joy. Like, even the cry of the baby makes everybody happy. And if the person is somebody everybody loves, it makes it like really worse. We are all happy that, Charlie, we now have a baby boy. We now have a baby boy. Then the baby start crying. So it's the same thing. There's a family that's in heaven. Of course, in that unseen realm, there's a family also that we have here on earth. Now, Jesus is saying in John, I go to my father and I come to you. I'm making room for you. There's enough room for you in that dwelling place. So all of you can come. What are you coming in to do? To partake of the inheritance of my father, of my goodness towards you, my kindness towards you, my loving graciousness towards you. That's what you become part of when you are in the family. There's nothing like anger. God is angry with me. I put it to you again. Be careful. God is angry with me. He's angry with me. He says that he has taken away his salvation from me. Then why is it eternal? It's forever. What he did for you is forever. The partnership he has with you is forever. And that's why I keep, debunking the things that make you seem right before him. Oh, I prayed 12 hours. I just finished praying 9 hours. Oh, now I have 24 hours. You've never prayed 12 hours and you feel like you've not even started praying yet. You don't feel any different. It's just the same. Yeah. I met a man of God where in his hall, and he was telling me that, hey, bro, I just finished praying. Then he mentioned the number of hours. Then you know what I said? Hey, you don't even feel, you know. You don't even feel like you have done anything. Now, if you're going to put your loving, God's loving kindness to you because of your prayer. So it will not be because of that. You can fast your way to death. Oh, recently there was somebody who fasted 40 days. The person died. You can fast your way to death. Let me tell you a secret. There are certain times I break my fast. I tell God, only God, your mercy. Sometimes I do that intentionally. You know, a couple of days back, I said, Lord, this thing has to be much easier. You know, it has to be much easier. You know, it has to be much easier. Then I was now saying, Lord, show me some hacks. Because it has to be much easier. It has to be much easier. I'm seriously looking for hacks, so when I find them, I'll come and tell you. You see, you like Cheapside, you see. Looking for hacks. I didn't lie to him. I said, it has to be much easier. It has to be much easier. There has to be a way you should be able to eat food and still have certain things happening. There's a way, there has to be a way that you don't really pray, but when you stand, it will be moving powerfully. There has to be, and you're not doing it mischievously. But there has to be a mercy or something kind of way. You see? Yeah, there has to be a way. There has to be a way. I've not found it yet, but when I find it, I'll let you know. Then you now hear me teach on the price to be paid. Then you now say, ah, Pastor, but you said, it's the same thing, oh. It's the same thing. Yes. So, Jesus is saying that when we come into God's family, we have an inheritance. And what we receive in that inheritance is eternal life. Now, don't let anybody put any pressure on you. Are you listening? To kill yourself. Again, then you now hear me teach on the price to be paid. Then you now say, ah, so which is which? Both of them. Mix them together. Eh? Mix them together. You know, there are also times where he'll tell me to fast and he'll tell me, hey, if you don't fast, you will see. Then when you don't say the mercy of God, the mercy of God is to reveal to you to fast. It's also to reveal to you to pray. Have you seen that some people say, you know, I wasn't expecting this, but it happened. But it was also negative. But if you found out God led them to pray, or God led them to do something, or God led them to, you know, do something that stops that negative thing from happening, but they never did. It's like somebody who told me, real life story, she told me, God woke her up every 3 a.m. And every 3 a.m. for 2 weeks, she had an impression on her heart to pray for a certain relative of hers. Like, I mean, I said, why didn't you do it? You know, she's just there. And 3 a.m. on the dot, when she looks at the time, it's 3:00. For 2 weeks, continuous, every night, 3 a.m. She wakes up exactly at 3 a.m. And what comes to her mind at 3 a.m. is that she has to pray. She didn't pray. Then now the catastrophes, they started happening. One person is dead. Another person is dead. Another person is dead. Then after, you know, death had taken quiet, then she was now crying and telling me, every 3 a.m. I was up, 2 weeks. That's the mercy of God too. So listen rightly. I'm trying to mix it together so you don't leave. That's the mercy of God. That's the graciousness of God. Because remember, he will do something with you in partnership with him. So I said, why didn't you do it? She said, I don't know. Every time I woke up, I slept again. Every time I woke up, I slept again. I said, oh, this one, you are not supposed to cry. Yeah, you're just supposed to thank God and pray again the next time he tells you to. You just agree. I've also had great man of God who was senior to me. He called me. He was so hurt. And the reason was that God had revealed something to him continually, but he never did anything about it till the incident happened. So it now began to eat up on him. That, what if? I said, don't worry, relax. Go and just talk to the Lord. Tell him that you are being careless as a steward with the revelation he gave you. That's carelessness as a steward with the revelation he gave you. So just go and talk to him. Lord, I've been careless. I've been careless. But I still trust your mercy in this carelessness. That's how you go. You don't see that. I still trust because it's given. It's there. It's continually there. Are you listening? That's why going to ask for forgiveness again and again and again is something that does not make sense here. Because it's not something you go and you ping, you off, and then now it's given. Like, there's a wholesale center for forgiveness of sin. No, it's something you received once and for all. He forgave you. That forgiveness dwells in every other situation that requires forgiveness. Because remember, it's a well that springs forth continually with life. When you say, Yesu, what do you mean? Something. I don't want to sing the song. You see how people be crying here. Atmosphere. So, what we receive in his family is eternal. Now, can we call that life in its sense? Because everything that encompasses being around him is the life he gives us when we become one with him. Do we see that? Great. So is eternal life in heaven? In some space? No. Eternal life is here because we received that life while we still are on the earth. Right? So, where God is where we are. That means we can call eternal life, in short, as the believer's walk with God. The believer's walk with God is what is eternal life. It's seen. It's seen in the preaching of the gospel. It's seen in the preaching of the gospel. The Lord working with them and confirming their words with signs. Is that something he's doing with them? That's the life we receive. Eternal life is everything that encompasses the believer's walk with God. Yeah. Now, can we call walking in love eternal life? Yes, we can. Walking in love is eternal. So, why are you able to forgive the one that has wronged you? Because I have eternal life. There's a love walk that I walk. Do you know the people of the world, it's not easy for them to forgive. 24 years, they'll be holding on to something. 36 years, my grandmother did this to me. Oh, I'll not forgive. But then the believer just sees it and says, you know what? It's okay. Why? Because I have a walk with him that allows me to forgive my friend when he misses it. Eternal life is the believer's walk with God. Can we call eternal life as the use of the gifts of the Spirit? So when I see and know and hear, that's eternal life. That's what I received in Him. Yes, that's what I received in Him. So when you say, I see in the realm of the Spirit, God is showing me something. That's saying, I have a life that is of God. It's born of God. Can we call eternal life as exercising authority over the devil? We can. We say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke your works and I command all your operations to cease. That's eternal life. Now this life, we're not fasting to get, praying to get, trusting God to get. He hath given to us, and so we have eternal life. Now when we're full of joy that is not of the world, somebody can ask us and say, why do you run in church? You can simply say, I have eternal life. Why are you able to put up with that stubborn brother? What's going to be your response? How are you able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? You know, you don't need to feel anything. The life is there. Somebody comes to you and say, I had a dream about you and this person was working against you and so you are going to die in 2 weeks. What is going to be your simple response? It's the life of God in you. God becomes my Father. And He doesn't only just become my Father. He lives in me. He doesn't only live in me. He works His work through me. And that is eternal life. We say, how are you able to pray for all those hours? What is going to be your response? I got eternal life. It's not, you see how I walk briskly in the midst of troubles or situations? It's because I know there's a life. There's a life. 1,000 shall fall on my right, 10,000 shall fall on my left. It will not come near me because of the life that I have. Now listen, the understanding of this life is what you receive all that He says you have. The understanding of this life. The understanding of this life. The understanding of this life. How are you sure about your tomorrow? What about your tomorrow?
Something about eternal life.
Somebody say,
I have a habit of being a gluten. There's gluten with me.
You say, from this day,
because of the life I have,
no to gluten.
You say,
my mind is very slow.
I almost forget everything I study.
I have eternal life.
You go to the hospital.
They tell you this condition is what you have now.
They say your kidneys are not functioning well.
Your liver is not functioning well.
The chest of God, the favor of God, the uncompromising love of God, it follows after me, it chases after me, La Plaza de Bar.